Well, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are here to rejoice and be glad in this day. The Lord our God, He is good, and all the time He is good. Amen. Certainly want to thank God for our worship team, for Richard and the team for leading us so far in worship, for Danny for leading us in prayer. We thank God for each and every one of them, and I greet you all this morning. In the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here and to see you all this morning. Well, as you've heard, we are now arrived. We've arrived at the final chapter of our letter as we've been journeying through the Ephesians. And we're now going to look at chapter 6, our final chapter. And I'm going to commence reading from verse number 10 this morning, 10 to 20. And it reads like this: Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, this is Paul speaking, he says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I want to look at verse 12 again once more. This is our key verse for today. Paul says that we're to put on the armor, the whole armor, but then he goes on in verse 12 to say the reason why. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Can we all say that together? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful time of sharing and for the opportunity and privilege that we have as your people to gather together this morning on this bright day. We thank you for it, Lord, and we pray that as we have worshipped you, and we continue in our worship now to partake of your holy word, we pray that you'll bless us, Lord. Speak to our hearts today, and when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Allow us to leave this place today learning more and knowing more of your goodness and your grace. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, it's amazing. I was in preparation this week for this sermon, I was reflecting back some 14 years ago. 14 years ago was the first time I preached a congregational sermon, and the text was Ephesians chapter 6. And I haven't preached from this text since then. So it's been 14 years ago. And I thank God that 14 years God has sustained and kept me. I've still been able to preach God's word, and I thank God for that. Amen. Question today is simply, are you match fit? Are you match fit? So friends, this is it. We've reached the grand finale here in Ephesians chapter 6. Well done. We stayed the course of time from chapter 1 now to chapter 6. And in true Pauline fashion, the apostle is in no mood to wrap things up in a quiet and in a routine fashion. He doesn't end the letter by simply saying, "Yours sincerely," or "best wishes," "thinking of you." But he has, by way of conclusion, the apostle Paul is seemingly desirous of imparting yet more wisdom, more spiritual truth, in what could be viewed as a closing rallying call to prepare God's people for a spiritual battle. And the question this morning, friends, is simply, in light of Paul's message here in chapter 6, the question is, are we match fit? In light of the glorious revelation of God's grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the very fact that we have been reconciled unto Christ, Paul says, through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We read that through chapter 2 of Ephesians. And in light of Christ being, what Paul says, is that Christ is the cornerstone of the church. That upon Christ himself, the church was built. And in light of Ephesians chapter 4, whereby Paul highlights the importance of the church maintaining its unity in the spirit and in the body of Christ. And also in view of chapter 5, where Paul deals with the relationships. We heard that last week. And the correct order of mutual submission, with Jesus being the head of man, and the man, the husband, being the head of the household. And that mutual submission, as we heard about last week, and the charge for the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church and demonstrated that love by giving himself as a sacrifice for many. And also in view of the call for children to honor and to obey their parents. And in light of all that has been shared through chapter 1 now to chapter 6, all that has been shared on Sunday mornings here at the church, here we are in chapter 6, and Paul is raising the question, not just to the church in Ephesus, but I believe that this question is very relevant for us here this morning, that in view of all of these things, are we ready for the battle? Are we prepared for this spiritual battle? And Paul closes chapter 6 in what could be viewed as an almost military / Olympic style or theme, where he suggests that the Christian is called to be like a soldier who must be prepared for battle. You know, in my favorite sport of football, over the years, there has been many developments in the sport. much has changed over the years, and now there's so much technology used in the sport of football now, as in many things in life today. And one of the things that they have introduced into the sport of football is a video analysis team. And what that team does, church, is the team is charged with the responsibility of watching videos and paying close attention to the team, the opposition that they will be facing that particular week. So a team will be studying the opposition, trying to suss out the tactics of that team, trying to suss out the formation of that team, so that he or she can then go to the manager and say, I think I know how they're going to fare up against us. I think I know their tactics. I think I understand how they're going to try and attack us. And now that team will stand ready and prepared for the battle. But church, in like manner this morning, I want to raise the question that in our everyday lives, in the times that we are living in today, where there's so much going on in this world, and it's just the same as Paul mentioned, that we're living in a time where there is darkness, principalities, the rulers of darkness, wickedness in high places. And oh, don't we see that playing out before our eyes today? But the question for us as the church of the Lord Jesus, we have to ask ourselves the question today, are we ready? Are we prepared for this battle? Peter reminds us that we are called to be sober, to be vigilant, to be watchful, because our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom he may pounce on. And often the devil is able to capitalize on individuals who are not prepared, catches them off guard, unaware. And friends, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, as Christians, we are despised by the enemy and the systems of darkness that hate anything pertaining to the light of Jesus Christ and indeed his followers. When we became a Christian, when we gave our lives to the Lord Jesus, you didn't have to ask, but the devil now has a hallmark on you. And he's trying every day to attack you, to bring hell and to bring all manner of things to despise you, because he hates the fact that you have opened your eyes to the light. You see, when we were in darkness, the devil didn't have much mind for us at that moment. Wasn't too interested in us, because we were spiritually blind. We were doing the things that would not glorify God, but would glorify his campaign. But now, since we have had our eyes open to the glorious light of Jesus Christ and the goodness of God for us and all of the spiritual benefits that God has blessed us with as his children, we have been welcomed into the family of God and we stand victorious. But the reality, friends, is there is still a battle taking place in the spirit realm. It's a battle between good and evil, between light and darkness. And just like the words of the old hymn that asks the question, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? So, Paul, what advice do you have for us today so that we can be prepared for this spiritual battle? This battle that is not a physical one, but this spiritual battle against the rulers of darkness and wickedness in high places. Well, number one, if we're going to stand ready and prepared for the battle, Paul says, number one, that we ought to utilize every item of God's armor. Utilize every item of God's armor. You know, when I was in school, we had a teacher, and you know, as kids, oftentimes, or I shouldn't say oftentimes, but sometimes we would forget our pen or our pencil, and you'd have to raise your hand and ask the teacher, "Sir or Miss, could I have a pen, please?" And there was this teacher, he always used to make a big deal of it. And as kids, we just, what's his problem? We're just asking for a pen. And he used to go into this big discourse of why we should always be prepared and come to school with a pen. That we ought to be prepared. But you know, he was so right. Because if a student is coming to an institution to learn and to develop and to gain knowledge, then the student must come with the right tools. It's just like you asking someone to come and give you a quote, perhaps maybe for your conservatory. Maybe you want to have a new conservatory to your home. And imagine you calling someone to give you a quote for this work, and they turn up and they say, "Oh, sorry, I forgot this at home," or "Sorry, I haven't got this, I haven't got a root, I haven't got nothing." You'd be thinking, what's going on? What have I called you here for? You're unprepared. Well, friends, in like manner, Paul here is charging the church, the Christians, that we must not stand unprepared. The call for us is not to fight, but the call for us is to stand. But we must stand ready and prepared. And the first item on the list, I want to run through these briefly. Paul says that we must have, and this is not in chronological order here in the Bible, but I'm going to do it in order in terms of the soldier, is the helmet of salvation. And of course, the Roman soldier would always be adorned with a helmet to offer protection to the head. And in like manner, Paul is exhorting the believers to always remember the helmet of salvation. That there is salvation in no other name given amongst men or women whereby we must be saved. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Christ is our head. He governs, He leads, and He leads the church onwards to victory. Hallelujah. So we must always remember the helmet of salvation. Never forget and never allow the enemy to bring doubt into our minds that we are not saved, that Christ has not redeemed us. He will try to offer lies to us that we're not good enough to be saved. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus Christ has purchased our redemption with His blood. And Christ is the head of the church. And then secondly, we are called to not forget to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Again, another critical component for the Roman soldier's uniform that would protect the chest area from sword attacks. And in like manner, church, the enemy seeks to attack our hearts with lies and perhaps even to try to create doubt in our minds that we're not good enough. Or if we mess up from time to time, he may try to trick our minds that it's over for us. And friend, if you find yourself in that predicament this morning, where you're viewing yourself based upon what you have done in the past, and you're struggling to let go of it, certain things that you may have done or certain things that have happened to you in your life, then I want to encourage you today that you are good enough, not based upon your works, but you are good enough based upon the fact that Jesus Christ fought so much of you that he died on the cross for you. And now he has replaced our righteousness that is described as filthy rags. And now we are viewed through the lenses of the righteousness of Christ. And we stand forgiven at the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God through him. Hallelujah. Then Paul says, don't forget the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. And this, I believe, friends, is a primary weapon of the enemy. This, I believe, is one of his schemes that he tries to do consistently to the church, and that is attack our faith. To try and to make us doubt God. Because even the devil knows that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So he will do all he can to attack our faith, our trust, and our confidence in him. And here's why I believe the enemy is so interested in attacking our faith, and especially even the faith of non-Christians. Because he knows that you don't even need a lot of faith to come to Christ. That's why he's so interested in attacking our faith. Because we don't need great faith to come to God. But if you have faith, Jesus says, as small of the size of a mustard seed, then God is able to work with such faith. And Jesus says, even such faith, small faith, can move mountains. And I believe that even that small faith, I want to encourage you today, don't ridicule that small faith, because there are some mountains, not physical, but some mountains perhaps in our own lives, in our lenses, that are in the way. But if we have that mustard seed faith and trust in God, then he is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, because there is nothing too hard for God. But the enemy will try to attack our faith. He may try to sow that seed of discord, that even in our prayers, as we watched on the video, wonderful video this morning, that when we pray and we say, Lord, I'm giving you this situation, I'm giving you this problem, I'm placing you, my loved one, in your hands. And sometimes when we do that, and after the prayer is over, then sometimes that doubt can creep into our minds and we start to worry about what we've just prayed about. But that is the test of our faith. If we're going to pray about it and leave it in God's hands, then we don't have to worry about it anymore. We've got to leave it in his hands. So he will attack our faith. And I'll encourage you this morning, as you reflect on this word throughout the course of this week, maybe begin to analyze in your own life, amongst your own family, where is the enemy attacking my faith? What scenario, what situation is he using to attack my faith? Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's something that the doctor has said to you. It's got you feeling worried and concerned. Maybe it's mounting debts and bills that seem to keep coming in, and you're wondering, how am I going to cover all of these bills and expenses? Maybe the enemy is using these things, these practical things, to attack our faith in him. But I want to encourage you today that God loves us so much that even the practical things in life, that God is able to take all of our concerns if we offer them at his feet and trust him. Amen. And then Paul says, our loins girded with truth. This was the waistline feature of the soldier's armor. And here Paul highlights the importance of standing on truth and rejecting lies and deceit, because we know that the truth will set us free. Then he goes on to say the sword of the Spirit, which we know is the word of God. And friends, we must always equip ourselves each day with the word of God, for this is a powerful piece of the armor. The word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And then Paul says, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And this is a final reminder for us, church, to coin the well-known phrase that as Christians, we come in peace. That we are not a soldier seeking to do harm to one to another in a physical sense. But our battle is a spiritual one, and we come in peace. As the writer of Romans suggests, that how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good things. Our message, our lives, our testimony is one of peace. Even if we are ridiculed, we still stand in peace. Even if people say negative things about us and tease our faith, we are called not to respond and respond in a hostile manner and fight fire with fire. But our call is to come in peace. But then secondly, Paul says utilize the whole armor. Don't forget one piece of the armory. Bring it all. Take everything that God has offered to us. But then, as mentioned, we recognize that it's a different kind of fight. It's not a physical battle against people, but we face an army whose goal is to defeat the church of Jesus Christ. But we stand knowing that Jesus said that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And as Richard mentioned this morning, although we know we have already won the victory through Jesus, and the devil is defeated, and one day the book of Revelation tells us that his time will come to an end once and for all. But until that day, the enemy is still like that roaring lion. Even though he knows his fate, even though he knows that he is defeated, he's still trying to worm his way into the affairs of the church and to deceive and to try and bring confusion and all types of things to deceive us. He will still try to do that. And that is the reference here, that it's a different kind of fight. But we know, friends, that we are victorious, not just in the future, where we know Jesus will conquer all things, but we also know that right now, in the here and the now, we can live our lives in total victory. We are victorious both now and in the future. But then third and finally, church, Paul says we are to utilize every item of the armory. Second, recognize that it's a different kind of fight. It's not a flesh and blood fight. But then third and finally, the call is to stand. Stand firm on the promises of God. And unlike earthly soldiers, that when they are adorned with the full armory and they go out to engage in physical battle, but our call as the Christian soldier is simply to wear the armor and stand. Just like those soldiers that stand outside of Buckingham Palace and they stand and they don't move until it's their time to change guard. Well, that's what we're called to do. Stand upon the rock. Stand on his promises. Stand on his truth. And then we allow the Lord to fight our battles. I'm so glad, church, that we don't have to fight for ourselves. Because if we had to fight for ourselves, then we would be in trouble. But thanks be unto God, we are called to stand, and then the Lord will fight our battles. So this week, whatever we face in our lives, we can have total confidence knowing that the Lord is fighting and will fight our battles. So stand. Stand with the armor of God, the full armor, and watch the Lord fight our battles. Do you know, in one of my other sports that I love, the sport of boxing, in boxing, when the trainers prepare their fighters for battle, and they work with them in a vigorous training camp, sometimes for months, trying to ready and prepare their fighter for battle. But when it comes to the night of the fight and the battle, the trainer has to step aside. The trainer, the teacher, is not able to fight on behalf of their student. They have to stand back and let the fighter take the blow. And whatever the fighter has learned in the training camp, whether they utilize it or not, that's no longer the job of the trainer. The trainer's done all he can to prepare the fighter, but now it's up to the fighter to combat and fight the opposition. But that is not the picture of the church. Because Jesus Christ has not just equipped us with the armory, and then said, okay, over to you. Fend for yourselves. Go throughout the course of each week, and then you're going to have to engage in this battle against evil, against darkness, and no longer come to me for assistance because I've given you the armor. But no, Jesus is there each and every step of the way, and we can call on him, and he will fight for us. He will fight on our behalf. Amen. So the challenge this morning, I want to call you to reflect on this week in your devotional time. is to pray about the items listed in Ephesians chapter 6. And each day seek to adorn yourself with the full armor of God's protection. And again, don't allow lies to circumvent your faith in the truth of Christ. Don't allow the rulers of darkness to make you afraid of their schemes. But stand knowing that through Jesus Christ, we are not just conquerors, but we are more than conquerors. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your holy word. And we thank you that you have fought so much of us in your word, that we find so much solace and strength. In times in our lives when it's rough and there's so much going on, and we're sometimes in our humanity, we're confused, perplexed, concerned, and yes, even at times afraid of what's to come. But thank you, Lord, that you've not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And like the picture of that soldier, we too, as Christian soldiers in the army of the Lord, thank you that we can stand knowing that you are fighting our battles, that we have the full armor of God's protection to cover us each day, and also the blood of Jesus Christ, who has won the victory on our behalf. And for that we say thank you. And Lord, whatever is going on in our lives, whatever situation we find ourselves in, it may look on paper that we are defeated, but thank you, in the spirit realm, we can never, ever be defeated, because we serve an undefeated Savior. Never lost a battle. Always victorious. And always watching over us. We serve a great, big, wonderful God. And help us each day, Lord, each day to reflect that victory in our lives. That sense of come what may. Not that we just dance over the problems in our lives and not pay them any attention, but Lord, that even through the problem, that we may trust you wholeheartedly and that our faith may not be deterred. Help us each day to serve you and to please you despite the obstacles in our way. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.